Hello, in this audio snippet, we would like to continue talking about the post-Civil War period and finally get to the annexation of Santo Domingo. But before we get to that, I feel the strong need to share some thoughts on recent news stories. It feels, in a sense, as if we're narrating kind of the final days of America and just showing how we are going downhill in a very sad way. It's like narrating a death. And it's important to narrate because you might say, well, if the country's going to die, what's the point of saying all these things? Well, I feel that they have to be said as a testimony, as an indictment, and as a clarification of why the country is on its way to dying in less than 8 months. I wanted to share very quickly on a story that came out 2 days later, after the previous audio snippet where we talked about passions and how passions can drive us to matriarchal behavior. And we spoke about it in the context of Damar Hamlin, and also we briefly mentioned Mike McCarthy, the so-called Speaker of the House at the time of this recording. And 2 days after we spoke about that, this story appeared on this conservative website, the Gateway Pundit, where I go to see to see what's going on and to get further disappointed and disheartened about how conservatives think and where the country's going. But the story, the headline was "Comedy Break with J.P. Sears." And quote, "When the world is against you." So apparently this comedian, J.P. Sears, who apparently is well known, but I was not aware of him. He posted a video somewhere, and the title of it was "When the World is Against You." And they have a still of that video in the story, and it has this... comedian, a guy, J.P. Sears, very well built, and he's he has long hair, and he's wearing makeup over his eyes and his lips and everything. So, but he kind of looks like a clown, but he's kind of trying to portray him as a man who's trying to look like a woman, and then he has some sort of sign next to him. Like bathroom sign for both men and women or something like that. Basically, I think, is talking about a guy who wants to have the freedom of expression to be a woman. That's basically what it is, but he's doing it kind of to emphasize the lunacy of it all. But what caught my attention about the whole thing was not just the video itself. I didn't watch the video or what the topic is about. What drove my attention was the one paragraph that they did write in the article from the video of something he said. And they didn't quote anything else. This is the only thing they quoted, and I believe it's not a coincidence that this lady who wrote this article, Margaret Flavin, I think her name is, that she chose to put this exact paragraph out of everything the comedian must have said. And I'll read it here. Literally, it says, "As someone who is out to make the world a better place, one of my passions in life is being in whatever restroom I want, whenever I want, It's just common sense for inclusivity. And then they have the video that you can watch. And this comedian seems to be pretty good. He mocks all the nonsense about that leftists expound on. But it's interesting that the author of this story chose that one quote from all the things he must have said in the video, and it's not a coincidence that we were talking about passions just 2 days earlier in this audio snippet. So this seems to highlight what we were saying, that this thing about passion is something that just oozes out of the matriarchal leftist's mouth. And when passion becomes more important than reality, than the truth, then you become a leftist, and you become a person who is more worried about feelings, emotions, and things like that than about what is true and what is false. And that's when you get to the lunacy of, I can do whatever I want, whenever I want. And so I just wanted to mention that very quickly. But now, speaking of passions and considering that we spoke about passions in the context of this football player named Damar Hamlin, he was the player who collapsed on the field early January, a few months ago, or a few weeks ago, almost died, but miraculously came back to life. And he's supposed to be a Christian, and we've talked about that in the previous audio snippets. But the thing is, a story came out, and it was about Damar Hamlin speaking on stage at a NFL honors event. And in this NFL honors event, he was speaking on stage apparently with the staff of the Cincinnati hospital where he went to get treated after collapsing on the field. And being there, receiving medical attention in front of everybody, millions of people on television. So apparently the medical staff that helped to save his life was standing behind him, and he was speaking. And the idea was to honor the people who helped him to come back to life from cardiac arrest. But I want to read what he said, at least what's quoted here. I'm reading from the Daily Mail website, and I want to read what he said, which is, to a conservative, this is heartwarming, this is touching, blah, blah, blah. But to a person who's more concerned about the truth than about conservatism or little thing or being tugged in the heart with little things, then this is not encouraging. This is just so much more disappointing, and it just reinforces that we are, as a country, on our way to die. Remember, you don't ever get your heart. Don't allow your heart to be pulled by these kind of trigger points. Like, for example, with a conservative, you talk about God and country and family values, and you win him over or her over right off the bat. It's like game, set, match. It's over. You have conquered that person's heart, and then you can feed him whatever him or her whatever you want. But if you're focused on the truth, if somebody says, "Oh God," or "country" or "family," you go, "Okay, all right. What are you talking about? I'm not. You're not gonna just use these buzzwords or these catchphrases to win me over and then have me agree with everything you have to say. I'm not gonna be that way. That's what a person focused on the truth will react to an attempt to be manipulated, even if it's not a deliberate manipulation, but because the other person could be himself being manipulated by these buzzwords, so he just transmits the manipulation to other people. So the thing is that he said the following, and I'm quoting, first, I would like to thank God for even being here. And then he said, every day I'm amazed that my experiences could encourage so many others across the country and even across the world. Encouraged to pray, encouraged to spread love, and encouraged to keep fighting no matter the circumstances. Then he said, sudden cardiac arrest was nothing I would have ever chosen to have been a part of my story. But that's because sometimes our own visions are too small, even when we think we're seeing a bigger picture. My vision was about playing in the NFL and being the best player I could be. But God's plan was to have a purpose greater than any game in this world. My entire life, I felt like God was using me to give others hope. And now, with a new set of circumstances, I can only say he's doing what he's always done. I have a long journey ahead, a journey full of unknowns and a journey full of milestones, but it's a lot easier to face your fears when you know your purpose. And then Hamlin, it says here, was clapped continuously and given a standing ovation upon his arrival to the stage, and during his speech, he recounted meeting a man after the shock incident who gave him immense hope. And he said, my third night awake in the hospital, I met an ICU doctor. His name was Youssef. He told me he had a similar experience. He showed me he was okay, and that meant so much to me, he continued. And then he said, there was so much uncertainty at the time, and just him coming to me, showing that I could live a normal life again, it meant so much to me in the moment. So I want to give a big thank you to him, and a special thank you to everyone on this stage for everything they did for me. And thank you everyone around the country and around the world who pray for me and hope for me. The journey will continue. And I don't know if that's the last thing he said, but that's the last thing they quote from his speech. And you read it, and it is so pathetic at so many levels. And I know a conservative reading this will go, oh my goodness, oh, what a wonderful young man. Oh, what a beautiful soul. This is what America needs, more young men like him. No, the problem is there are too many young men like him. And let me point out, you know, first, the thing he said, I would like to thank God for even being here. So that seems to go against things we've said before, where it always seemed like he was honoring the people who, quote, prayed for him more than God. So this is the first time I've ever seen him thank God directly. For what happened, you know, for him coming back to life. But it's interesting, at least in what I can see here. I don't know if he said more. I really don't want to hear what he said. If there's a video out there of what he said, I couldn't care less. But I'm reading what the Daily Mail is writing, and I think they did quote basically the whole speech. And didn't leave out important parts, I would dare say. But the thing is that if you really believe in a God who can do things like that, I would just would go a little more than a paragraph about, you know, thank you for him. I'm here because of him. If you really believe in a supernatural God, an omnipotent God who out of nowhere brought you back to life, I think you would spend more than one paragraph in emphasizing that. Because the rest of the time that he talks about God, he's talking about in the context of I'm here for my journey, and this is the purpose for my journey, blah, blah, blah. So it's all about him. But, you know, and the thing is, he's on stage with a whole bunch of medical doctors behind him, and a big audience watching him, and maybe, I don't know if this was televised, I'm pretty sure it was televised on some channel somewhere, but so he had a big audience to speak to with medical staff behind him that were there to be honored for saving his life. So I hope you see what I'm saying. He's standing in front of an audience with medical people behind him who are being praised and honored and glorified for saving his life. So he, if he really believes in God, it would be the perfect opportunity to say, yes, I do thank the people behind me. But without the one above me, the people behind me wouldn't have been able to do diddly squat to save my life. You see what I'm saying? I mean, either you believe in God or you don't. If you don't want to believe in God, then that's your thing. You know, that's your thing. You make a decision. It will affect you one way or the other eternally. But that's another topic. You know, you do your thing, whatever. But at least be consistent. That's what I'm trying to say here. That's the point of what I'm trying to say here. If you are really going to believe in a God, then be consistent about it. If you really believe in him, you're going to take the opportunity. You're gonna be on the watchtower. Remember, this is a black guy. He's supposed to be on the watchtower. And he's not on the watchtower. He is on a watchtower, but he's watching out for things for him. That's all he's watching out for. But he's not watching out for the things that he's supposed to be watching out for. If he's paying attention, he would go, okay, I'm being set up here with a situation where the medical staff is behind me, and I do want to talk about God and the journey, blah, 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 but I do want to make it clear. These people behind me are powerless. They could not have saved my life. My situation was so dramatic that had the one above me not interfered, I would be dead. I would not be here at all. And he's the one who made it possible for them to rescue me. So he never emphasized that. He never said the power of an almighty God, the God who created the heavens and the earth. He never went there. So people didn't get a sense of the power that was needed to rescue him. It was always in the context of, like, remember, he had all the medical people behind him. So anyone who's watching that is just thinking about the medical staff. They saved him. They saved him. This guy's talking about God and the journey and hope and all this gooey stuff. But at the end of the day, the people who saved his life are the people behind him from the perspective of anyone watching. You see what I'm trying to say? So this is what I hate about American Christians. Just the fluffiness, this fluffy, fluffy, matriarchal Christianity. And then she says, every day I'm amazed that my experience could encourage so many others across the country. Encourage them to what? If you were paying attention, you stupid son of a bitch, you would have realized that you were on your deathbed and you were on your death field, literally. You were lying on the field dying. Because you took an injection that you were pressured by society to take, and that you willingly took because you love being with the in crowd so much. You love being popular. You love your emojis. You love your Facebook posts. You love your Twitter posts before, you know, obviously they were before Elon Musk took it over. And you wanted to be in the in crowd and doing the trendy things. And one of the trendy things was to take the injection. And the NFL was pressuring all the players to take the injection and harassing those who wouldn't. So he wanted to be in. He willingly took it. That almost killed him. And that should have been one of the first lessons that came out of this whole thing, don't you think? That, my goodness, all these people have been talking about how this injection causes all these problems and it's killing people. There might be some truth to all that conspiracy theory that's going on out there. And he would have gone to his God and said, hey, God, I'm getting the feeling here that that what those guys were saying was true. Can you confirm it for me? Because did I make a stupid mistake? Did you just save me from myself? save me, not from myself, but save me despite of myself. And apparently he never went there. He never went there. So he got, I'm sorry for saying like that, I'm sorry for, he got bitch slapped by the injection. And he, even after that, he got up and went to the bitch again. And stood by the bitch and said, I love the bitch and I'm going to stay with the bitch. That's what he learned from this. So he could have become the focal point on the planet to talk about the dangers of this injection. He drew the attention of the entire country. Even on the NFL Network on this channel, they had a guy who was so concerned about him that he stopped in the middle of the show to bow down and pray to God for this guy's life. Something that would be a career-ending move. And I think he's still around because everybody was just so concerned about him. That became okay. It was almost like a 9/11 moment when, you know, the towers came down and everybody started singing God Bless America, things that would have been, you know, forbidden, God forbid, literally, to sing God Bless America in a baseball, at a baseball game because, oh, that is insensitive towards atheists and other people. There was none of that. So it was almost like a 9/11 moment. He could have become, rise out of the dead and say, hey, stop injecting my fellow brothers and sisters with this poison. Because look at what it did to me. It almost killed me. I have come back to life to let you know this is poison. Imagine the shock that would have caused around the world. And I can tell you, all the people who were praying and hoping for him to be okay, many of them would have turned against him. And I think he knows that deep inside of him. And he just doesn't want to go there. Because his way of thinking is, I win more, you know, you win more people with honey than with vinegar. I forget what the saying is. But he's trying to, you know, sweet talk people into loving his God and loving his passions or helping others and all this nonsense. And that's more important to him than the truth. Now, the thing is, the ironic thing is, you know, he mentions this guy, Youssef, and the spelling is Y-O-U-S-S-E-F. So it's like the Arabic version of Joseph, of Yosef in Hebrew. And it's interesting, so a Youssef comes and talks to him, and on the website where these audio snippets are posted, we talked, many years ago, we briefly talked about the name Youssef, and it's in the context of a delusion, a lie, a manipulation, and so it's interesting, not a coincidence, that the guy who went to speak to him, the ICU doctor, was named Youssef. The Arabic version of the Jewish or Hebrew name Yosef. And he's told me, you know, what a lame story. He told me he had a similar experience. Oh, yeah. Oh, okay. So he was a football player, too. And he was in the middle of a Sunday night primetime football game. And he collapsed in the field and everybody was praying for him. And he was there dead for 7 minutes. Of course, yeah, whatever. And he showed me he was okay, and that meant so much to me. Really? Is that, that's it? That's it? That's it? He said there was so much uncertainty at the time, and just him coming to me showing that I could live a normal life again. It meant so much to me in the moment. And then he ends it with, so I want to thank, give a big thank you to him and a special thank you to everyone on this stage for everything they did for me. Yeah, and there's nothing wrong with that. I mean, nothing wrong. But at the end of the day, what is the final message that people got? Those people behind me saved me. And God just kept, you know, God had a part in it, but it's so that I could continue to share my passions, my passion to encourage people and give people hope. Oh, oop-de-doo, oop-de-doo, you know, and the journey will continue. Oh my goodness, you know, how exciting to know that. The journey will continue. The journey of him not recognizing the lethality of the injection that almost killed him. That's the journey that he will continue. He's going to continue on the same journey. Now, let me just start saying what the consequences are of him continuing on this journey. We shared before that he emphasized that his passions are about helping kids and you know, giving his life in this passion for them. And one thing I do know is this son of a bitch, Damar Hamlin, has a visionary personality to it, but is so overshadowed by the server personality that he has embraced from the world around him that it is just totally corrupt. And that's why he keeps talking about my vision, the visions I have for my life, or blah, 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 because he is a visionary. It's just that visionary thing, which is very common in Black people, is so overshadowed in his life by the server personality that it just becomes corrupted. But let me read another story that came out recently. It said, the headline on the Gateway Pundit as well, it said, it's official, CDC adds COVID-19 vaccine to routine immunization schedule for children and adolescents. This means that this dangerous injection, the rape by injection, is going to be added to the immunization schedule for children and adolescents. And you know, the article goes on to criticize this, obviously, because young children, the SARS-CoV-2 a virus is really no threat to young children. We all know that. And the thing is that if this Damar Hamlin cares so much about kids, then imagine him starting to speak out about his love for kids and also how this injection almost killed him. He's miraculously alive by the mercy of the God he believes in. Imagine how that would have contrasted with this story coming out. And then he would have, if he had taken this opportunity to realize and speak to his God that he believes in supposedly, and you know, he would have realized, hey, I've been on the wrong watchtower. So I'm going to get off the watchtower of watching out for what people think about me and go to the watchtower where I'm looking out for what's really, the threats and the things that are coming. And he would have gone up to the watchtower. He would have seen this thing coming, and he would have started shouting from the watchtower, hey, look at me. Remember the one that you were praying for, so concerned about? I am back here, and I'm telling you, how dare the CDC put young kids in danger now? Now, the thing is, the CDC recommendations are not forcible. So liberals are going to say, oh, those are just recommendations. But the thing is that every state, everything is decided at the state level, federalism again. And at the state level, they decide whether to go by the guidelines. These are, quote, guidelines, like strong recommendations. And then all the states where leftists rule, they will just take these guidelines and enforce it and add it to the immunization schedule for children. So children are going to be forced. And if they don't take the injection, they can't go to school. And I don't know how things work at the legal level. I don't know if that affects private schools, but I'd be sure that at least at the public school level, children would not be able to get a free education unless they took the death injection. So this is a terrible thing. And it's so ironic because this injection is still as far as I know, an emergency use act injection, meaning that no one can sue Pfizer or all these other Moderna, all these other murderer, worthless sons of bitches companies. They cannot be sued because they are protected by the Emergency Use Act, meaning that, you know, this is for emergency purposes, so they are liability free. And some people say, oh, well, the vaccine has already been approved by the FDA, so it's no longer under emergency use. No, no, no. There was, Pfizer did a very clever bait and switch. And you can look it up. This is not a conspiracy theory. This is just the fact. They created a separate drug, and they gave it a name, and it's officially like the official version of the quote vaccine. And then they put that in front of the FDA, and the FDA approved that that brand. But the weird things, the brand that got approved by the FDA is not marketed. They don't market it, and they don't plan to market it. They keep shelling out the so-called vaccine that was approved by the Emergency Use Act or whatever. So if a liberal says, no, you're lying, that is, I'm fact-checking you, that's a lie, because the FDA has already approved the Pfizer, quote, vaccine. No, they approved a drug, they gave it a separate name, I forget what it is, and that was approved, but the actual injection that's still being shelled out is not approved, and that's why no one can sue Pfizer or all these other murderers for all that is happening. They're liability free. They just put this thing, and they won't market it because they know if they start selling that brand, then they are liable. Then if people continue to die after taking that drug, then they can be sued. They can get the hell sued out of them. So it's just a ruse. So a vaccine, quote, this is not a vaccine. This is a mRNA gene therapy death shot. That thing is not yet approved. You cannot sue Pfizer if you die from it, but it's now being put into the schedule. But it's not, and the CDC can wash its hands and say, "Oh, we're just recommending it." I know it's an emergency use medicine, and I'm using that word very loosely. It's an emergency use medicine, and we're just recommending it because we found it to be so safe and effective, quote unquote. But yeah, we don't mind that the FDA has not approved it yet. We don't mind that that the drug company that's behind it is not accountable if you die from it or if you suffer severe health damage from it. But we're gonna put it lump it in with the other wonderful medicines that we inject our kids with. And Damar Hamlin, where the hell is Damar Hamlin? Where the hell is this black son of a bitch Christian boy? Where is he? Where is he to talk about this if he really cares so much about kids? That's the journey. Let's continue with him. The journey of looking the other way, while the kids he supposedly cared for are now going to get killed at a more massive scale. And speaking of kids, if he really cared about kids and cared about black kids, he would have cared about two things that I think I failed to mention in the last audio snippet. I might have mentioned it very briefly, but my intention last time was to also talk about the story of some kids that were acting with violence. But before that, let me share another story also on the Gateway Pundit that came out this past week. It says, update, very healthy 18-year-old athlete who suffered from cardiac arrest during basketball game has died. And I think we did mention him in the last audio snippet, I think, or briefly, but not in too many details. And the story says, the senior student from Detroit Northwestern High School who suffered cardiac arrest from playing basketball last week has passed away. They have a picture of him, and guess what? The kid is a black kid. This young black kid, a healthy athlete, a senior student at this high school, basketball player, and you know, on the picture, they show him, on a basketball court, and it's so sad because now he's dead. He's one of the very many people who have been dying suddenly, who have been young people who are healthy and out of nowhere having all these cardiac arrest incidents. And his family said he was very healthy. He loved basketball, said Chantel Woods, his cousin, to Fox 2 last week. He was very amenable, respectful. We're just asking for prayer. We need it. So this guy apparently is, from a Christian family. Apparently, I would dare say healthy, physically and morally young kid, trying to live a good life. He's not, into gangs and drugs and the ghetto lifestyle. At least that's the impression. Brief impression I get from him, and the fact that the cousin is saying, we're asking for prayers. He was very amenable, very respectful. So he was a very decent young man, and his aunt said he was a very good person. His aunt Duanda Woods said he would give anybody anything if he had it. So he was a giving person. So apparently he had the visionary thing. So he's sounding a little bit like what most people would think of Damar Hamlin. And the kid took the injection. Who knows what? And the thing is, he collapsed during a game. Interesting. Doesn't that sound familiar? He collapsed during a game against Detroit Douglas. That must be another high school in Detroit. He said before falling down, he told his head coach, George Tyson, he felt dizzy 3 minutes after the contest started and needed to come out. Douglas head coach Pierre Brooks then reported hearing a big bang while watching the action on the court. Quote, I heard a big bang and I thought it might be a fight or something, Brooks said. I looked over and it was Cartier that fell out, and Coach Tyson jumped to action. Medical personnel arrived within 10 minutes to perform CPR on Cartier after he collapsed. They continued for 40-60 minutes before Cartier was transported to Henry Ford Hospital, where he ultimately died. Let's hope the Woods family receives the full truth regarding Cartier's passing. These deaths are not normal. And that's what the writer of this article, Colin I don't know how to pronounce the person's name, Colin Linebarger or Linebarger, said in the story. Damar Hamlin is continuing on his journey of self-fulfillment, where God is just one of the many people on the path to fulfilling his own personal interests. His God is a matriarchal servant God who's there to serve him instead of the other way around. And while he's on that path, another kid who suffered almost the identical situation, he collapsed in the middle of a game, he received attention on the court and then taken to the hospital. This guy wasn't that lucky, as lucky as he was. And apparently a decent, and I would dare say this guy was much, this young man was a much more decent human being than Damar Hamlin will ever be. That's the impression I'm getting. And it's sad, I feel very sad in my heart that this young man died. Young black kid, he's gone. And Damar Hamlin, who was brought back to life, he is continuing on his journey of looking the other way. This, even though the injection almost killed him, he couldn't care less because he would rather die than feel rejected by people. So that's the irony. And the other thing that we wanted to talk about was that the previous week, there were two stories about two young kids. There was a young girl, I believe, in Georgia, who attacked viciously attacked her teacher, and apparently she said just before lunging at her and punching the daylights out of the teacher, a young black girl, and I think from what I remember in the picture, I think the teacher was a young black not a young but a black woman. So it was a black on black crime, interestingly enough. So this young black girl said, "You don't talk to me like that," and started punching the daylights out of her teacher, a young girl. So that talks about the violence and the lack of respect to authority that's embedded in the black culture. And it all has to do with things that that have been said before, about how the black family is mostly, for the most part, a single parent mother family. It's a matriarchal environment where they learn or don't learn to respect authority. They don't have an authority figure telling them, teaching them, instructing them. So they grew up as bastards. And I mean that not literally, but figuratively. People who have no respect for fatherly correction. And they feel entitled, and that's why they have no respect for the police. That's why the police then have to be so forceful with them. And that and there's also a problem with the police. We've talked about this before. There is a certain evil quality in some police forces, not all of them, but there's a certain abuse of power in the police system in America, because there's the police sometimes treat people like they are. Soldiers, lower rank soldiers. It's like a military system. We talked about this briefly before. So you are there to serve them instead of them realizing, no, I am a public servant. I live on the public's dime. So I'm here to serve the righteous. And I am here to punish the unrighteous, but I'm here to serve the righteous. But they don't get that. They feel like they are they're there, and everybody, righteous or unrighteous, is a lower level soldier that must obey everything they do, they order them to do. So there's a problem there. I don't deny it, because I have experienced it myself. I know that there's a problem. And every time I can tell you a story where an off-duty police officer was really kind of treating me like dirt, and I spoke back to him, and I confronted him, and I gave him a good talk down. So I don't care how you're dressed. If you don't respect me as a human being, especially if I pay your salary, you're going to hear it from me, especially if I'm not violating the law. The problem is black people are violating the law and then being treated like dirt, sometimes by the police. But the thing is, they have no boundaries. They don't know how to respect authority. So that's why this young black girl had no problems beating up the black teacher, because the black teacher dared to tell her something, and it's like, you don't talk to me like that. And where's Damar Hamlin to, if he cares so much about kids, where's he to tell his fellow young black men and women, young kids, hey, the black culture have to stop this attitude of violence, not only towards each other, but towards authority figures or anything that defies what we want. Where's he? Where's the great Damar Hamlin on his wonderful journey to tell black kids, if he gives a damn about them, as he claims he does, to tell them, hey, I'm here to tell you that is wrong and you should stop that. And because there's a God watching you, and he is going to judge you, and your life is going to be condemned and cursed if you continue on your violent behavior, and stop it. That would be unpopular, because that would be criticizing something about black people. And then all the woke crowd, everybody who cheers him on and loves him so much, is going to start poo-pooing him. And he just can't take that. And there was another story that happened the previous week that I wanted to talk about a young, and I don't even want to say young black man, because that sounds like young, sounds like innocent. So it's this black son of a bitch thug, a 15-year-old black boy
who, on a school bus, savagely beat a 9-year-old girl. And there's and I think the young girl is white. I don't know what happened, but the 9-year-old girl must have confronted him. He must have been trying to do something, and she confronted him. And how dare anyone confront a black man? So this 15-year-old big kid, a big son of a bitch, little thug, monster. There's a picture that was taken of him, with another student on the bus, a mobile phone shot, and you can see the big animal, the big gorilla, pounding on the little 9-year-old girl. Just savagely beating the girl, and then after he finished with the girl, he started beating up her 10-year-old brother that was sitting next to her on the bus. This happened in Florida, in Miami, which is sadly, that's sad, and I think that is very, very poetically fitting, because Florida is supposed to be the last free state in the country, and this is happening in Florida, and we'll say something else about that later. The thing is that, the parents of the two savagely beaten kids complained to the school, which is Coconut Palm K-8 Academy, and the people at the academy at the school said, "Oh, we can't do anything about it. Sorry," they. The parents continue pressing, and it seems like there's a violence problem at that academy. And the thing is that eventually they went to the police, and the police initially just gave the kid a civil citation. I forget the technical term for it, but it was just this just written slap on the wrist. This civil whatever it was called is intended to... just be for first-time offenders, because they don't want to mar their record and put them on a criminal path, sort of thing. And this was the young kid's first offense. But eventually, apparently, the outrage that the public outrage over what happened here led them to eventually charge the black monster. With criminal charges, and so the thing is that where is Damar Hamlin to tell young black kids, hey, this is wrong, you worthless son of a bitch, you 15-year-old piece of dirt who will burn in hell if you don't change like that. You will burn in hell. The God who just saved me, the God who supernaturally just saved me, is going to strike you down, and you are cursed from this day forward until you repent and bend down on your knees and say to my God, "I please forgive me for the life I have chosen to live." Where is the Damar Hamlin that has this stage, this public stage, to say all these things and be heard? Where the hell is that son of a bitch? Where the hell is that black son of a bitch when the black kids who are killing each other are doing their thing, and he could be there to tell them not to do it? Where the hell is he? And the fact that this happened in Florida, and it happened in an academy, which makes me think it's the charter school type thing. I don't know. I'm not 100% sure. Just tells me a whole bunch of things. Florida is run by the governor, DeSantis, who is probably the best option to be in the White House in 2024 right now. He falls short at so many levels, being a conservative and all that, but sadly he's the best thing available right now. And it's sad that on his watch this is happening. I haven't heard him speak out about this, maybe, but remember what we said before, how the Black Party was founded, the Republican Party was founded on the idea of rescuing black people. Remember that? Back in 1840-something? That's why the Republican Party started at some point, and that's what we want to get to, if we get to it someday. At some point after the Civil War, the Republican Party forgot about that. And it never remembered that again. So this could have been a perfect moment for DeSantis to rise up and say, hey, this horrible thing that happened on my watch here in Miami, Florida, is an indication of what is wrong in the black culture. And we need to address this. And we need to speak out about this. And we need to encourage the black churches and the black leaders, you know, because DeSantis is supposedly a Christian, so he could talk to his Christian brothers and sisters, if you know what I mean. Like the person, the people who are supposed to be his kinship, and tell them, hey, you black churches, you should be telling your you should be praying for the judgment of God to come on your neighborhoods, to clean them out of drugs and crime. And you should be speaking from the pulpit and talking about what's wrong with the black culture and what black people need to do to change, to rise and fulfill their destiny. He could have taken this golden opportunity to say all these things and start talking, you know, putting the filter of the nation on that. I know he would have been called a racist, the other, but he's going to be called a racist anyway. You have to remember, with the liberals, you're never going to win. You're never going to win them over. You might as well just tackle the problem. And if you go down tackling the problem, at least you try to tackle the problem. But don't be a coward. Just don't pretend, look the other way like it's not happening. Oh, all I want to do is create a good environment so that then if they want to change, they will change. No. You can't pretend like it's not happening in front of you. So the Republican Party is not saying a single thing. No one is saying a single thing, and not even DeSantis. And this happening in Florida. So it's it's as if the truth were exposing what's happening in the country. But not even Florida, not even DeSantis is going to rescue this nation from its demise, because it's not going to rise up to do what is required of them to do. So that's a very sad story. And the fact that it's a charter school, you know, I think it's a charter school. It feels like a charter school. The fact that conservatives always talk about the importance of charter schools, and I do believe in the importance of charter schools because it takes away from the power of the public school teacher union system that is so much against charter schools. That's another topic. But the fact that it's happening in what a conservative sees as a solution, it's like, okay, I do need to talk a little bit about this. So the few times they talk about and they never say it in the context of black people, because they try to stay away from that because they don't want to sound racist, quote unquote. So they talk about charter schools, and they know deep inside it's a way to give young black kids hope to escape from the public school system and have a chance at a decent education. But the fact that this is happening in a charter school, that the violence is creeping into this charter school, it should be a way of them waking up and saying, hey, okay, this is just a simple solution. We need to add more to this solution that we have proposed to supposedly get rid of the problem without really tackling it. I hope you get what I'm trying to say. Conservatives always want to do this little thing, and then just to calm their conscience, and then they continue to ignore the problem. But it's as if to say, no, charter schools are not enough to solve the problem. And the thing is, where is Damar Hamlin to talk about this? And the other kid who the young black girl who beat up, and the lady was pretty badly hurt, the teacher. I mean, she was very badly hurt. It was not like just a little bit, like slap in the face or something like that. It was really, really bad. This happened in Georgia. Georgia, which we've spoken of as the place where freedom for black people was going to emanate. Remember, we've talked about that extensively. And Georgia, that's why Martin Luther King came out of Georgia. It's not a coincidence. But he also failed. And he's another fallen... he finished like a fool. And he didn't he because he never confronted what's wrong within the black culture. And it was clearly evident, even in the 1960s, things were going wrong in the black culture. And that's why when he died, we had the riots in Baltimore, I think, and in many other parts of the country. And it's ironic because he did, the little he accomplished was through nonviolent protest. And he emphasized that a lot. So it's ironic that when he died, the people who loved him showed their love for him by doing the very opposite that he did, that he preached. You see what I'm saying? So that means he didn't get his message across to people. And he never confronted black people about what was wrong with it. Okay, we're going to get you free from the oppression of the white man. But once you're free from the white man, you have to recognize that there's some things that you have to deal with within you. There's some demons inside of you that you have to deal with, and I'm going to tell you about them. He never did. And that's why, thankfully, his life was cut short. He was, you know, he was killed just like Lincoln, just cut off, like, okay, you're done. There's nothing else you are going to accomplish. And if he had stayed alive, I can assure you, he would have destroyed his legacy completely, completely destroyed it. Because the communist side of him would have come out. He was a communist deep in his heart. I don't know if he would have thought of himself as a communist, but the way he spoke, the way he acted was just, he had that Marxist thing about him, even though he was supposed to be a Christian, quote unquote. And I guess he was, but only to a certain extent, shall we say. So we wanted to talk about these things, and now, just to finish talking about Damar Hamlin, another interesting story came out a couple of days ago, and the headline is, "Just In, Police Arrest Man Who Assaulted Democrat Congresswoman." This is on the Gateway Pundit again, let me read part of the story. It says, "Metropolitan Police arrested the man who attacked a Democrat congresswoman in D.C. earlier Thursday. Democrat Representative Angie Craig from Minnesota was assaulted in her D.C. apartment building on Thursday morning and was left bruised and shaken. Police said the representative said, quote, good morning to the assailant as she was entering the elevator to go up to her apartment. The suspect was reportedly doing push-ups in the elevator before he assaulted the lawmaker. It says, quote, this morning around 7:15 a.m., Representative Craig was assaulted in the elevator of her apartment building in Washington, D.C. Representative Craig defended herself from the attacker and suffered bruising, but otherwise is physically okay, Craig's office said. There is no evidence that the incident was politically motivated, the statement said. Minnesota Representative Angie Craig threw hot coffee on man who grabbed her neck and punched her in the chin in an apartment elevator, according to a D.C. police arrest. Assailant got away, according to a statement from Capitol Police. Police arrested 26-year-old, and this is the reason why I'm telling you this story. Police arrested 26-year-old Kendrick Hamlin, a.k.a. Hamlin Khalil Hamlin, on Thursday evening. And it says Kendrick Hamlin appears to be homeless. And this shocked me when I read this. Hamlin. I said, my goodness, I had never heard of that last name in my entire life. And to be frank, when I went through high school, they never mentioned Hannibal Hamlin to me. Or if they did, I wasn't paying attention. And it was only until we started, you know, doing these audio snippets that I learned more about Hannibal Hamlin when I started thinking about the Constitution and thinking more about what Lincoln did and really kind of trying to ascertain what did this man do. Well, I guess it was even before these audio snippets. At some point, when I was thinking about Lincoln and asking the truth about this, that I began to be aware of Hannibal Hamlin, Lincoln's first vice president, and we've mentioned him many times in these audio snippets. But it was only until then that I became aware of that surname, Hamlin. I never heard of it before. And then, you know, Damar Hamlin collapses on the field. And to be frank, I don't know if it's Damar or Damar. I don't know how they pronounce it. I don't care. I'm going to call him Damar. And whatever. thing is, Damar Hamlin collapsed in the field. I said, wow, Hamlin. And now, shortly after that, now I hear about another guy called Kendrick Hamlin. And there's a picture of him, and as you can imagine, he's a black man too. So I find it interesting that on the same week where Damar Hamlin is giving his first big speech in front of a big audience, on that same week, another Hamlin shows up, and his name is Kendrick Hamlin, and they say here, a.k.a. Hamlin Khalil Hamlin. So he must have converted to the Muslim faith. Who knows? I don't know. But the thing is, this homeless man attacked this Democrat representative. And he's homeless. I'm sure he has the mental issues and all that, but it's just all that part. Like they have demons of violence in the black culture. It's just there. It just manifests in so many ways. And it's interesting that, I don't know, I still can't quite make sense of this, how it fits into the whole thing, but I know there's a connection. It's almost, in an ironic way, as if Kendrick Hamlin is acting out on what Damar Hamlin should be doing, if you catch my drift. This guy attacked a Democrat representative. It's almost as if, in a certain sense, Damar Hamlin should be attacking the Democrat Party, because the Democrat Party is the one promoting the injection that almost killed him, and killing lots of people, and killing the kids that he supposedly cares so much about. So he should be attacking the Democrat Party, just like this guy, this homeless guy, decided, you know, to attack this Minnesota representative. And it's fitting that's Minnesota in a very weird way, because Minnesota is where Mike Lindell is from, the MyPillow fellow. Very good pillows, by the way. But I don't agree with he's a conservative, a radical conservative who is radically in favor of conservative values and not necessarily the truth. I agree with many things he says, but there are many other things where he just goes the conservative route, just instead of going by the truth. And he's even kind of insinuated that DeSantis committed voter fraud to win so massively in Florida. And why is he doing that? Because he loves Trump so much, and he wants to poo-poo DeSantis to make Trump look good. There's something wrong with him. But I do admire his courage in speaking out about many things. So I do admire him on one end. But I feel bad for him in some other ways, that he's not listening to the truth. He's not listening to the full truth. He's listening to part of it, and it's become cement. It's like cement. It's dried up, and he's just rigid on that, and he's not learning more the whole truth. So he's stuck in a part of the truth, and when you're stuck on partial truth, you become vulnerable to many falsehoods. It's like the part that you're not willing to fill out becomes filled with falsehood, because as they always say, nature abhors a vacuum. And in a figurative sense, that happens a lot with people. If you only accept part of the truth, you can rest assured that demons will come in to fill out the rest. Demons who are going to tell you things that are not true are going to come and fill out the rest. So, I don't know, I can't quite make out what the whole connection here is, but there's this Democrat from Minnesota, from Mike Lindell's state, who is a Republican, of course, but this is a Democrat from Minnesota, from the state of Minnesota, and she was attacked by this Kendrick Hamlin. The thing is that he wasn't able to really inflict much damage on him, which is interesting. She's a woman. This guy must be bigger, stronger. And obviously possessed. So people who are kind of like possessed, they tend to be more physically powerful than they normally are. And he wasn't able to beat her, and he was able to hit her on the chin and grabbing her neck, but she just threw coffee at him, and seemed to be enough to rescue her. But the thing is that I feel there's a connection. It's as if he was trying to fulfill in a very weird way what Damar Hamlin was supposed to be doing in real life, but not doing it very well. And the hot coffee is almost to wake him up, kind of thing. And I feel like Damar Hamlin was supposed to wake up from his stupidity, and he didn't wake up from it. I don't know. I'm still a little confused about it, but I do feel there's a strong connection here. Something that the truth that is trying to say, and I still don't get it. Maybe one of you will get it. Now that we've said all these things about Damar Hamlin, I do feel the need to say very quickly a few additional things. There was this the story that came out, speaking of DeSantis in Florida, who did not speak out when this violence happened with a 15-year-old gorilla that beat up the poor little 9-year-old girl. There was a story criticizing him by Donald Trump. I think it was a tweet or some sort of a post on Truth Social, you know, the equivalent of Twitter for conservatives or something like that. And Trump posted this image of a young DeSantis surrounded by like young girls, young women, and he's holding a beer in his hand. And he said, he posted the photo, and then he said, he suggested, I have it here, I think. Oh, that's not Ron, is it? He would never do such a thing. And and before that he wrote, here is Ron the Sanctimonious, grooming high school girls with alcohol as a teacher. That's what Trump said as he posted this picture of this young DeSantis. And there's no context. We really don't know if these were high school girls. And he's holding a beer. So he must have been in college, or who knows what happened there. Maybe because it was before when he was younger and wilder, and he then straightened out his life. Who knows? But the fact that he wrote this vicious thing, here's Ron DeSantis grooming high school girls with alcohol as a teacher. Really? And this is what, that's why we know Trump is gone. When he starts talking like, he's attacking a fellow, quote, conservative, a guy who is doing his best. He has created a haven for him to live in Florida, relatively free from all the attacks he'd be experiencing in practically any other state. And he's the best governor in the country. And he's attacking him like this. And you know why he's attacking him like this? Because how dare he allow people to think that he might be a contender against Trump in 2024, because DeSantis has not even announced anything. He's not saying I'm running for president, but just the mere thought that he might is enough for Trump to be upset, like, I put you in power. And so he believes in God too, Trump. So wouldn't the correct thing say is God put DeSantis in power? I helped him because I am the servant of the Most High God, and as the servant of the Most High God, I heard my master say to me, help that guy become governor. And I helped him. And he's there because of God who put him there. No. Trump says, I put him there. And he should be grateful and loyal to me. So he's speaking in the terms of political, I scratch your butt, you scratch mine. That sort of attitude. You do this for me, and I'll do this for you. That sort of thing. You know, quid pro quo. The dirty politics. That's what Trump is expecting of DeSantis, and because he's afraid, DeSantis is the strongest candidate or option against Trump, and he knows it, and he's trying to destroy him. And DeSantimonious, Can you do you see? And this is the guy that people want to rally around to save this country. That's why this country is dead. And DeSantis just chose not to respond to those attacks. But it just shows you how bad it is. And on the other hand, DeSantis also shows himself lacking by not saying anything to what, you know, not using that opportunity of that vicious attack by the 15-year-old gorilla against that, poor little girl. Not using that as an opportunity to speak about Black America and to speak to Black America and help Black America be free from its own demons and to then prosper and thrive, at least in the state of Florida. He can't go there. He doesn't care. He's a Republican, the party that started to help Black people be free. And he's not doing a thing. So it just goes to show you, there is no solution. There is no answer. We're going straight downhill. And just to emphasize that, there's the story of that came out this week too, that says on the Great Way Pundit, it says New Mexico bill aims to lower voting age to 16. So there's a new bill in New Mexico that aims to lower the voting age, and it's to allow young kids to vote in city, county, and statewide elections. Because the current voting limit is 18, so they want to lower it to 16 in New Mexico. Now, the people who wrote the story, complain about it, how bad it is, and yeah, I agree, 16-year-olds, I don't think they are fit to vote. But Democrats want young people to vote because the more stupid the voter, the more chances they have of winning, or at least it makes it easier for them because they have to stuff fewer fraudulent ballots in. You know, if more stupid people vote, then they don't need to commit as much fraud. The thing is that, interestingly, the bill says the right of citizens of the United States who are 16 years of age or older to vote shall not be denied or abridged by the United States or by any state on account of age. And the thing is that, I'm reading from a bill that was proposed by a Democrat, Grace Meng of New York, and co-sponsored by AOC, a stupid young foolish woman, a Democrat, that is aiming to lower the age. So the story starts with, in New Mexico, they plan to lower the age to 16, and then they talk about the bill that's proposing the exact same thing, but at the federal level. Now, this story should be an opportunity for this guy who wrote this article to wake up and say, okay, I think I'm being told something. And the thing is, there's a problem. Let's say, you know, I don't think the bill, the federal bill, will live or be voted on and succeed, especially now that Republicans have taken a majority. They're not going to allow that, at least, you know, one of the few little things they're going to, quote, accomplish. So that bill, the federal bill, is not going to live. But the bill in New Mexico might pass. And because the state, all they need is to control the state. The party that wants to do something just has to control the state, and then they can change the electoral laws in the state. Why can they do that? Because the stupid founding fathers put it very clearly in the Constitution, the states have sovereignty over how to run their own elections. They decide their own rules about everything election-related. So this should have been another of the many moments for conservatives to wake up and say, hey, there's something wrong with this federal system where every state can, because then, see, the thing is, if you start manipulating things at the state level, then even if the federal level doesn't change, you can manipulate things at the state level so that the federal laws don't matter. In other words, if a 16-year-old can vote New Mexico at the city, state, council, and city, county, and state level, what will prevent that 16-year-old from also voting for president if they can kind of manipulate the system in New Mexico to allow the 16-year-old to vote? You see what I'm saying? Once the guy's inside the ballot booth or whatever, if he's already in there, then all bets are off. It's as if then the state can manipulate it so that the 16-year-old can end up voting for president as well, and no one will be the wiser. Who will be able to impose anything on them? Because they're shielded by the state sovereignty thing in the Constitution, and they can just muddle it up. I know the Constitution is very clear about the voting age, so they can they could use that to question the state. But the state, if you have created an environment where the state can do whatever they want, it becomes a very hard legal battle to prove that they are violating federal laws while enforcing state laws. You see what I'm trying to say? There's something very, very wrong in this, and no one's waking up to the awareness of this. So why do we have electoral fraud? Because of this fundamental problem. That is the root of the problem, that the states can run their own elections any way they want. And there also, there's another story about that basically was saying that in Alaska they wanted to make ranked voting permanent, and they were outraged about that. Conservatives were, and we've talked about that before. But the point is, if they're so outraged about it, wouldn't that be a teachable moment for them to say, okay, states should not be allowed to define their own voting systems because this is outrageous. So the party that gets in power can impose the system that's most convenient to them or that they like the most at each state. And it's easier to control a state than to control the Congress or the Senate, if you know what I mean. It's much more localized. So instead of saying, hey, the Founding Fathers made a mistake, excuse me, they continue just complaining, but without looking at the root of the problem. So everything is in front of them, and they still don't see it. So the point is that we are dying as a country. That is part of what we're trying to say here. That every potential sign of hope is hopeless. Damar Hamlin, who looks like this wonderful young Christian man who is bringing prayer back to America and hope and a focus on God, is a fraud. Boom. Then you have DeSantis, the great man, and I still believe he's... I don't know what the point is going to be, because America will be dead by 2024, but in a superficial way, he is the best hope for the country. But you look at him and see him in the context of what happened with this 15-year-old gorilla beating up on this 9-year-old girl and the 10-year-old boy, and boom, there's no hope with him either, nothing. And then you have Trump, who's supposed to be the great white hope, the hope that's going to bring America back and make America great again and all that rubbish. And Trump is posting photos of DeSantis and insinuating that he's grooming high school girls and teaching them to drink alcohol and seducing them. So there you go. That's the other hero. Down he goes. And in the meantime, as all of this is happening, conservatives don't, they keep propping up their heroes. Their heroes are the Founding Fathers and the Constitution. And because they have these heroes up there, then reality just keeps just telling them over and over again, this is wrong, this is wrong, this is wrong. But they keep looking up at the Founding Fathers and saying, hey, if the Founding Fathers said it, it is so, then it is so. And we're not going to deny it. And you have people like Mike Lindell, who worships Trump. So if Trump says it, then it's true. If anything goes against Trump, then it must be false. So then he goes and starts attacking DeSantis. So we have all this hero worship and all these people who seem to be the hope to restore things. And all of them are fake and false. Excuse me. So the point is that this is where the country is. And by the way, just to finish it out, with two things very quickly. There was a young black kid who was a young black man who looked like a decent fellow. We might have mentioned him before, I'm not sure. His name was Tyre Nichols. He was pursued by five black police officers. There was some sort of issue, some incident, and they pursued him. They caught up to him. And they started beating the hell out of him, literally beating him to death. And he was crying for his mom towards the end because he was going, he was running towards his mom's house to get away from the cops. And he was like one block away or very close to his mother's house. And he started screaming for his mother as the five black cops were just beating him, and they killed him. They literally killed him. And then, Black Lives Matter and people protesting. Yeah, but the guys who killed him were five black men. And it's been speculated that there might have been a personal vendetta, that the guy must have been dating one of the five officers' ex-wives or something like that, and it was like some sort of revenge that they did some sort of traffic stop as an excuse to beat him up or something like that. But the thing is that he looked like a decent young man. I don't know. I could be wrong. But they savagely killed him. Another example of the black demons of violence. That spirit of violence that just flows through black people. And it's accepted in the black culture. And no one says a thing about it. No one says a single thing. No one. Not the bastard T.D. Jakes, the whore, you know, black preachers. No, none of them in the matriarchal system, no one. And no one in the political system, really calls this out and says this is, and you know, speaking boldly about it and saying this and that. Where's Trump? Trump will never say anything like that. He's such an idiot, so self-absorbed. He's not ever going to even go there. And he has the ears of black people. I can tell you this. You know, like this woman, Silk and Diamond, one of them died from the injection that Trump promoted. So Trump killed one of the two, and he went to the funeral and all that. He has the ears of black people in a way that few other white Republicans have had in a long, long time. If he said things to black people, I think he would stir them to action in a way that no other white Republican in recent time could, I would dare say. But he's not going to do it either. But I digress. The thing is that this Tyre Nichols got beat up by these five black men, again exposing the violence of the black culture. Where is Damar Hamlin to talk about that? Oh, he's on his journey, so forget about him. So the thing is that these five black cops killed him, and apparently the parents are Christian, because I remember them the mother saying something about please pray for us or something like that, but she said it in a way that sounded like the way you would expect a Christian to talk, and the weird thing is the son of a bitch Bite Me invited the two to his State of the Union speech. And they showed up in Congress, and they were seated in this place of honor. And the stupid little, retard, senile bastard misquoted his name as he spoke about him. He called him Tyler Nichols instead of Tyre Nichols. So he butchered their name while he was there. And the parents, there's a still of the parents as they're introduced by Bite Me. And they have this angry look on their face. I don't know if they're angry, or they look like that all the time, or or they were angry at his at Bite Me butchering their son's name. I don't know. They looked really like angry, part angry but part bored. But the thing is that what the hell are these two, if they're so-called Christians, doing accepting an invitation from Bite Me to be used as political props to again speak about the racism in this country? Because that's where Bite Me and everybody takes this story. Oh, what's the problem with how Black America is treated? Our young Black men and women are being killed savagely because their lives are considered a second rate. Well, second rate by Black people. 80% or 80 to 90% of Blacks murdered are murdered by other Blacks. So the ones who seem to think that Black lives don't matter are Black people themselves, and that's never pointed out. And Bite Me just is trying to use this as a tool to promote his agenda, and these people are allowing themselves to be used by the Democrat Party. So if they believe in a God and God is speaking to them, supposedly they have a connection with him, wouldn't they be aware that they are being used? Why the hell are they even allowing themselves to be associated with this bastard? But the thing is that there you have it. And all of this happened in Memphis, Tennessee, and that's where Martin Luther King died. This is all tied together. So Martin Luther King died, and then we had, as you said a moment ago, you know, we had riots. That's the irony. The man who promoted social change through nonviolent protest, his death was protested by rioting and fires, and people got killed, if I remember correctly, during the 1968 riots after he died in Baltimore and in other places. It was very violent. And in that same city where he died, the five Black men beat the hell out of this young, beat this poor young man to death, and killed him for no reason at all. And no one's saying anything about anything. So that's why, you know, I know the country is dying. And we, just to finish, turns out that the balloon, we talked about the balloon last time, that was the Chinese sent, that went through America, went over some nuclear silos and took all the information it needed. It was a huge thing. I think they say it was like 60 feet tall, which would mean like a six-story building. That's how tall it was. And they said it was like the size of 1.5 football, the length of 1.5 football fields or something like that. So the thing was humongous. And it was able to go across the entire country. And once it finished crossing outside the coast of North Carolina, I believe, they shot it down. So they let it go through the whole country, do its all, it could, you know, complete its spying mission. And then it was shot down. And then they were having trouble rescuing salvaging the vessel. And what I failed to say last time is, if I had been in charge in this whole thing, I would have tried to find out if there was a way to bring down the balloon without destroying it, to see what the hell is in it. Because the Chinese protested very angrily. They really got self-righteous. How dare you shoot down this balloon? It's a violation of international regulations and blah, blah, blah. They got all self-righteous. And I would have taken that down, investigated if it was possible to do that, to bring it down safely, assuming it didn't have some sort of explosive or some sort of dangerous thing or biological warfare thing, whatever. I would have brought it down, analyzed what it had, and I would have ordered the building of an exact similar balloon with similar technology, and I would have sent it to fly over China. And then if the Chinese would have complained, I would have said, "Hey, oh, sorry, we are also studying the weather, just like your balloon. It's a weather balloon, and we lost control of it, just like what happened to you, because you know that happens, right? You lose control of your weather balloon, you know, just like you. What's the name of those things that that people fly remotely. I forget, they were being used to deliver packages and stuff like that. Well, it's sort of like that remote thing, and sometimes you lose control of your remote flying toy. Drone, sorry, that's the word. So, you know, just like people can lose control of their remote flying drone, then we lost control of the balloon. Sorry about that. But I would have used it to also, I would have done it, say, if they claim it, then I would say, okay, oh, it was a fake, it was a weather balloon. Okay, then I would have built a balloon and sent it their way to, into China. And I would have used it to spy on them. And they would say, oh, how dare you? Well, oh, sorry, you know. If we're going to be playing this game, I'm going to play it too. But we don't have anybody thinking like that. No. This is a country of idiots. And that's why I know the country's gone. The country's gone. This balloon, this trial balloon, was this confirmation. The country's no longer a country. It's just territory. That's all it is now. There is no America. America is gone. Now, it's not officially gone. It's going to be gone in less than 8 months, between 7 and 8 months, and or maybe less than, between 7 and 8 months, and there is no hope for it. All the heroes that we propped up, they've all fallen down, and I can only wonder, did Tyre Nichols' parents think of Bite Me as a hero who's going to speak for their kid? And what the hell were they doing there to begin with? The problem had nothing to do with white on black violence or anything like that. It had to do with black on black violence that no one's addressing. Why wouldn't Tyre Nichols speak out about that? Well, the thing is that we have all, everybody has all these heroes, and they're all just fake balloons floating full of hot air, and there is nothing to them. You pop them with the dart of truth, and they just come crashing down to the ground, all of them. And people are determined on worshiping these heroes, these fake balloons, and that's why the country is dying. Because the truth keeps saying, hey, I'm here, look at me, and everybody's looking at the heroes, at these fake balloons, and just enthralled by them, and they are all false, and that's why America is dying, and it's sad that we're in this situation, and I believe that there is no way out of this. And that balloon seemed to, in a sense, confirm that. We will talk about some other things next time and hopefully continue someday with the post-Civil War period in America. Thank you very much for listening.